Saturday and Sunday before the Feast of the Holy Theophany, and just before the readings from Matthew and Mark of the inauguration of St. John the Forerunner's ministry, which is really very simple. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God, if I repent, he comes, we're told, as the one who exhorts us to prepare the way of the Lord. The Lord's coming, so prepare a way. And the Holy Fathers understand this as the way into our hearts. Prepare the path into your heart, because that's where the Lord wants to enter. It's really just a very simple and beautiful expression. The people at that time were longing for the kingdom under that word, the kingdom. People are longing for the kingdom now, but people don't use that terminology very. I mean, just like in the world, day to day, even maybe in the life of the church. We say in the Lord's Prayer, let your kingdom come, may your kingdom come. But do we really have this sense of kingdom? We don't really think in those terms. But it's profoundly important because we care very much that the world would be there at peace, and that there would, justice would permeate creation. There wouldn't be this kind of animosity and enmity and fighting and you know, illness and poverty and the struggles that we face in this world. And so all of us, every human being, wants those things to be dispelled and to be replaced with a life, a fruitfulness, a joy. So we all long for the kingdom, just like they did in St. John the Forerunner's time, whether it's oppression from the occupying Roman army or political upheaval or oppression that happens in governments around the world, or poverty, whatever it might be, or viruses. We long to have our lives be set straight. And the message from St. John is that, well, you have to prepare for that. It doesn't just happen. It's not a magic wand. The kingdom's coming, one preparation takes place. So hard for them is also hard for us to appreciate, because we want a kind of invading army. We want Christ not to come into Jerusalem on a donkey, humble. We want him to come in with, you know, tanks and military might, and it's not what he does. And so we prepare, and we prepare for this kingdom to manifest itself and reign within our own hearts, the kingdom of God within us. And that kingdom can't be overrun or overturned by anything else in the world. We have the sole power to let Christ reign within our hearts. No conflicts in culture, society, no illnesses, not even death itself can keep Christ from reigning in our hearts, except for us. And so that's the simple call: repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If Christ were going to come with this sort of overwhelming power and force, we would never repent. He would just kind of conquer us, conquer our hearts against our will. But the repentance is that opening of the heart, it's the straightening of that path, so that really Christ himself, with the love of Christ, can be poured out in our hearts. It's the love that is a consuming fire that burns up, as we read in the prayers in preparation and thanksgiving for communion, that fire that consumes the wickedness and things in us that don't belong in us. And when one of the prayers, the thorns of my sins, the body and blood of Christ consumes the thorns of my sins. So this is a very simple message. It's the gospel message. It's very clear what we ought to do, what's happening to us, and what we ought to do. It's expanded a little bit because, as you know, we began this divine liturgy with the word, blessed is the kingdom. And so the kingdom, it can reign in our hearts. It's prepared by this repentance so that the love of God can flow in. But then it's manifested in the community of the church, by blessed is the kingdom. And there, the most crucial thing that we do, if we've really properly prepared our hearts, is that we come to the divine liturgy with absolutely no conflicts with anyone. This is always the exhortations, especially to priests right in the rubric, to not have anything against anyone, to be at peace with all people. And this is really the crucial thing. When we're going to enter the kingdom as a community, we have to set aside all of those quarrels and irritations that we have with one another. Then we can have the manifestation of God's reign in this small community, in this church throughout the world. Now, I mention these things in part because it's the gospel meetings for this weekend, but also because, you know, some of you may know, but some of you may not know, that the Holy Synod of Bishops published a document on New Year's Day called An Encyclical of Hope. And I strongly recommend you read it. You go to oca.org, and I'm sure it's still on the first page, but if not, it's in a recent news item. Encyclical of Hope. I would read it, except for it's a little bit long to read in this context. And it's really directing our lives as they ought to be in this world that we live in, the brokenness and animosity and illness and suffering that's going on in the world right now, directing our minds and our hearts toward the spiritual realities, toward the kingdom. And not letting us get bogged down in the fog of this world. And it takes us through very clearly, some very insightful, but also very practical ways. It says that when we focus our attention on the things of this world, we become fearful. And this is so true in the life of the history of the Orthodox Church and the Holy Tradition. Fear has such a profound power over us because we're afraid of things that are a threat to us. It doesn't matter if it's a virus or a political party or people I disagree with in church, whatever it is, people, situations that are a threat to me, I react to and I respond to, and often, you know, with anger or violence or, you know, fight or flight. And so it talks about this fear and gives us very helpful advice from the Psalms for how to address this fear, especially in the simplest ways of admitting that we have it. There'll be no healing unless we admit that we have it. And then it asks the simple question, why do we have this? Why do we get caught up in this fear when we have this kingdom of God offered to us? And it says very profoundly, because we're forgetful. I'll come back to that in just a minute, but we forget that God's in charge, that God loves us, that the kingdom can reign in our hearts in spite of what's happening in the world. We forget about God. And so we pray the Psalms, we admit that we have fear, and we have this turning of repentance, which is just a return to God. It's a return to the one who oversees and controls the world, that even though the world looks like it's crazy and out of control and arbitrary, and in fact, God has for each and every human being, and certainly for each and every one who follows him, a way of weaving the events together that he allows in their life for their own salvation. So this document takes us through this with some very practical and helpful advice, and I encourage you to read it, oca.org, Encyclical of Hope. I wanted to add a few things about the section on forgetfulness, not because it's lacking, but because it reminded me of this quotes from St. Mark the Ascetic, in 5th century saint, ascetic, and they're just really beautiful. They've been very helpful to me in my life, so I thought I'd pass them on to you because to sort of keep in with the practical nature of this, how is it that once we forget, when we've forgotten God, how is it that we remember? So Saint, just four quotes from St. Mark. St. Mark says, "At times when you remember God, increase your prayers, so that when you forget him, the Lord will remind you." It's really very, very simple. We don't remind ourselves of God. God reminds us of him. And how are we to sensitize ourselves in such a way that we're open to his reminders? Well, it's when he reminds us to pray. When he reminds us that he's there, that he governs the world, that he's involved in our life, that he's present with us, at that moment, increase our prayers, he says. And that will make us more aware, more sensitive. It's very similar, he says again, do good when you remember, and what you forget will be revealed to you. So both of these quotes tell us, look, when you forget God, there's nothing you can do about it. You can't make yourself remember something. But when God, as it were, taps us on the shoulder, that's the critical moment. That's the moment that we respond. we remember to do good. We remember somebody who needs a little bit of encouragement. So we make a phone call or write an email at that moment. The more that we respond to those promptings of God, the more sensitized we get to His presence, and the more easy it is for us to remember Him. And conversely, the more we say, just a minute, a little bit later, not right now, the more callous we get to God's promptings. There's a very kind of destructive version of this, which I participate in, and which from confessions that I hear a lot of people participate in. It's very simple, and it goes like this. You've forgotten about God most of the day, and it's 2 in the afternoon, and you, oh, I can't believe it. I haven't prayed at all today. I forgot about God. And then our conversation goes something like this. Oh, I feel so terrible. I'm never going to learn. I'm never going to get any better. I can't think of God. I forgot my prayers again, and I'm so busy, and I just got to go do this. We're talking with ourselves. God reminded us of Him at 2 in the afternoon, and we decide to dump on ourselves. Talk to ourselves, complain and grumble to ourselves. It's exactly what is sort of Satan's heyday in our lives. When we take those reminders that God gives us of Him and we beat up on ourselves. But St. Mark is telling us, no, just the opposite. When God reminds you of Him, you start up by saying, Lord, thank you for reminding me of you. I haven't thought of you all day. I'm so sorry, but you loved me so much that you came here still, waiting patiently, waiting for me for the right time. Now I'm talking to God. I'm not beating up on myself. Now I'm increasing that prayer. He reminded me. And that's going to make me more sensitive to His, as it were, interruptions in my life. So this is very important and very simple, but very profound advice. And it's emphasized when St. Mark says, forgetfulness in and of itself has absolutely no power. But we give it power by our negligence. And what he means is, when God pokes us, when he pricks us, when he says, don't forget about me, here I am, we neglect him. We ignore him. We don't respond. Yeah, maybe it's even the alarm goes off and we know we should get up and pray. But we don't. We neglect it. We don't make the sign of the cross. We don't, whatever that is, when that prompting occurs, we neglect it. And that gives forgetfulness power over us. Forgetfulness on its own doesn't have any power because God can always intervene. But if we let ourselves get calloused by this negligence, it starts to have a problem with us. And then finally, my favorite, because it sounds so familiar to me, he says, do not say, what can I do? I don't want to be forgetful. It just happens. And so can you hear yourself saying it? I can hear myself saying it. It's not my fault. I just get forgetful. I can't remember. It's not my fault. I can't remember. He says, but when you remember, you cheated what you owe. In other words, when you did remember, you did respond. That's why it is that it happens to you. You say, what can I do? You can do a great deal. You can simply respond when God prompts you. And so this world that we live in is deeply broken, and that brokenness penetrates our own lives. The repentance is simply turning to Christ, and we can't do that except for when He initiates to remind us of Him, when we hear His voice, when He calls us by our name. And when we hear, and everything depends on that critical moment when He prompts us. At that moment, do we respond? Do we reply? In simple ways, increasing our prayer. Then, not later, oh yeah, I'm going to double my prayers tonight. No, right now, at this moment. That will be the beginning of repentance that opens the doors to the floodgates of love. And as we know from St. John's epistle, perfect love casts out all fear. So all of the fear that I have about this world, the brokenness, those things that make me want to enter into fight and flight modes, will all dissipate. Because the repentance opened up the floodgates of God's love, and I no longer have to be afraid. There's nothing that threatens me. Absolutely nothing. Even death itself does not threaten me. Because Christ doesn't leave me. He doesn't leave that home that He's constructed in our hearts, that we've let Him construct freely. So again, I encourage you to read this encyclical, the Holy Synod, and follow it in simple, practical ways. Let it boost your spirits. Let it give you hope in a way for what Father Bowman would sometimes say, how simple the Christian life is. Don't make it complicated. Just follow these simple practices, and by Christ's grace, we too will become people who can repent. Open those doors of God's love to cast out all of that fear. In the name of the Father.